The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The 16 to Kraft, the tight end with blocking. Kraft inside the 5 to the end zone. Touchdown. Tucker, Kraft. Savion Williams has got it. Williams getting the blocking to the pylon. Savion in for the touchdown. TJ screaming off the edge on third down. Love hit as he throws up for grabs. Caught! Kraft! Oh, on the run! Kraft pulling away! Still on his feet at the 30. What a run after the catch by Kraft all the way to the 26. The 319, you heard before that cadence. Rodgers deep drop. Nothing open. He's going down. Sack Micah Parsons. Number one got one. Pressure coming. He picked it up. Inside. Kraft's got it. At the 10. Kraft running away to the end zone. He has two touchdowns.
I do this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
And Chewy, Packers beating the Steelers on Sunday Night Football 35-25, and what a second half the Green Bay Packers put together. I gotta be honest, first half, uninspired. I was bored, if I'm being honest. I thought that the Steelers were gonna field goal the Packers to death. But second half, something happened, man. Flipped a switch. Matt LaFleur realized, sort of, hey, maybe I do have a pretty good quarterback here. Maybe I do have a pretty good tight end here. A statement win, a revealing win, and Gabe, your reaction was, okay, we finally know what the identity of the 2025 Green Bay Packers team is.
I feel that that's something we've been searching for a little bit here, trying to figure out what this the identity is, how this is all going to work out. It took a little bit of time to kind of figure it out last year because you had the Jordan Love injury early, although that helped shape what this team was. Josh Jacobs, you're running the football. You're going to grind it out with him and try to run play action off of that. This team is just different. For whatever reason, the offensive line not gelling. Elton Jenkins not good, as good at center as you were hoping. There have been injuries, shuffling guys in and out. You haven't been able to run the ball as effectively. But Jordan Love can still throw it. And you're going to have to now throw to set up the run, I think, going forward. We've been wondering, who's this number one wide receiver going to be? Who's going to be the number one target? Turns out it was the guy that they were telling us all throughout training camp was going to have a breakout season, and that is Tucker Kraft. 19 targets for him in the last two games. So they want to run that passing game through Tucker Kraft, as they should. And he now leads the team in receptions and yards. So to me, I think we found out what the identity of this team is. You want to get that lead so then Micah Parsons, Rashawn Gary can pin their ears back, get after the quarterback, get the sacks the way they did of Aaron Rodgers in the second half yesterday. And to get that lead, you have to throw to set up the run.
People were very interested, Chew, in how Jordan Love would perform compared to Aaron Rodgers, of course, the mentor and the mentee. We obviously know all of the storylines that went into that one. And at the end of the day, Chew, whether you're looking at the box score, whether you're using the eye test, Jordan came out on top. I mean, in the second half, Chew, he had 20 straight completions, which they flashed on the screen, tied your guy, Brett Favre, for most in franchise history. Not an Aaron Rodgers stat, but a Brett Favre stat that Jordan matched last night in the second half. He was absolutely fantastic and on fire in the second half of that game.
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite of last year when LaFleur was trying to figure this thing out and he pivoted to a heavy run team. I agree with Gabe. He's got a kind of... Now, let's give Pittsburgh their due. Their defensive backfield is terrible.
Yeah, 31st pass defense going into that game last night.
They're awful, but which is weird because in my day, coaches, you know, you always would hear them talk about, oh, I can't abandon the run, abandon the run. I think now you abandon the run, you know, and I agree with Gabe. I think you're a pass first team. And look, yes, Tucker Kraft is emerging, but the nice thing about this is maybe next week they give Tucker Kraft more attention And then maybe Christian Watson's the guy that has seven catches for 143. Or Romeo. That's what you want, you know? If they're going to give extra attention to whoever it is, the ability to pivot and go to other receivers, that's what makes an offense dangerous. But this was a weird game because if you look at the team stats, it's like, oh, this game was in hand from the start of the game. They were down going into the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Which is crazy. But a statement win, it's a good win. It's a good win.
Well,
it's
I just consider when all you put of up the... four. Go ahead.
When you put up 450, you know, total offense and the defense played pretty well. Yeah, I'd call it just short of a statement win.
I think it's a statement win because it happened on Sunday Night Football. You got the eyes of the nation on you, and I think a lot of people are going to change their tune, change their opinion about Jordan Love, particularly if you stayed up and watched that second half. 800-990-3776, your reaction all morning long, letting us know how you feel about the Packers' 35-25 win over the Steelers last night. To your point about spreading it around, yes, Tucker Kraft got the bulk of the targets, the bulk of the receptions, but he did, Jordan Love that is, he did hit nine different guys. I mean, Malik Heath was sort of featured in the offense a couple of times. And I was like, oh, Malik Heath is getting targets. Malik Heath was targeted three times, the exact same number of targets that Matthew Golden got. Matthew Golden had one reception early in the game. And then I was like, oh, great. LaFleur forgot he's on the team again. But Gabe, to your point, as you sit here and consider how much Matthew Golden is going to be wrapped into this offense, how much they're going to push the ball through him, if Tucker Kraft is playing at the level he played last night, 143 yards, two touchdowns, the long of 59, which I was just watching on the television screen above me, where he is just shoving guys off of him down the way, on the way towards the end zone, maybe we won't see Matthew Golden emerge as the number one wide receiver after all.
Yeah, I mean, Tucker Kraft, 336 yards of his 469 this year have come after the catch. So it's not even just the one big play that he had last night. So much more goes into it for Tucker Kraft. That's just kind of the guy he's been, and that's the way the Packers have typically got him the football. They don't push it down the field to him. They try to get it to him close to the line of scrimmage and then let his athleticism take over after that. I mean, Golden, for whatever reason, I mean, he still had the second most snaps of any of the wide receivers. Romeo was one, Golden was two, and then Christian Watson was three. I mean, he still had opportunities. Jordan just didn't throw him the ball. I mean, we've seen this where Matthew Golden gets open, and I don't know if he's just not the top progression. Late in the game, Chris Collinsworth called it out in the red zone where Jordan ended up throwing one kind of away where if he just looks to his left, it's a walk-in touchdown for Matthew Golden. So I'm confident those opportunities for Matthew are going to come just because the snap count continues to be there for him. He's somebody that has that special athleticism. It's just a matter of time of, again, being able to be in this rhythm. You bring up the nine different receivers. That's easier to do when you throw the ball 37 times and have 29 completions instead of having 24 attempts, 25 attempts. If you're going to be running the football as much as they did early in the season, even going back to last season, tough to spread it around and get all these guys love, but the more you throw it, the easier that is, especially if you do. We'll have to wait and see if this is what LaFleur does going forward, pivots to make this a pass-first team
nine
than a run-first
different
team.
Receivers. Josh Jacobs in there as well with three receptions to the number 10. We have callers waiting on the line, but first I want to hear, to your point, Gabe, about the identity of this team. Here is Jordan Love last night talking about what he believes is the identity of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely been flashes all season of our identity, and I think the message has always been just trying to find that consistency. You know, I think obviously getting Christian back was awesome. You know, just another explosive player, and what we want to be is, you know, the most explosive offense in the NFL. So I think just trying to find ways to be as consistent as possible because we know what type of offense we're capable of being. It just comes down to making plays. And like I said, the first half, it wasn't up to our standard. And obviously I think the score reflected that. You know, some of our drives reflected that. Then you look at the flip side, and in second half, we were able to do that. And so I think that's just what we need to be at all times, just trying to be as consistent as possible.
800-990-3776. Let's go out to the phone lines. Tim in Tosa, you're up first this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Your reaction to a big 35-25 win over the Steelers.
Morning, guys. I'm going to fly through a couple things. Jen, I'm with you. I was dozing off in the first half waiting for this train to get out of the station, and it was refreshing to see in the second half they made some adjustments. I did not know that Christian Watson was back, so I saw a smiling grill on the TV in pregame, and I was like, all right, that's a good sign. And I think he played well. Jordan was definitely on point. I think he hit a lot of his passes. Obviously, nobody's perfect, but he had played a really nice, like, touch game. The other thing I'm going to hit is when is the Keyshawn Nixon number one cornerback experiment going to be done? If you look at his body of work, and he's been on my radar, so I'm watching him off the ball, I'm watching him on replays, and I'm looking at a lot of his stuff throughout the game. Not just he's not the guy. He mails in his effort. I don't know. I know you guys have brought him up from time to time, but he's just not. He's garbage, in my opinion. unfortunately, they have to go with him as a number one. But he, in my opinion, he is not a number one. And I hope in the off season that, or the trade deadline, that they're, and I don't even know who's available. It's not desperate, but he's not a number one. I'll hang up and hang up. Listen to your guys' call. Enjoy every morning with you guys. Thanks.
I mean, I think it's unfair to say that he mails in his effort. Still had pass breakups yesterday, got bodied a couple of times by DK Metcalf, but I mean, it's not like DK went off in the game yesterday. Five catches for 55 yards for DK Metcalf. Is Keyshawn a number one? No, but I think he's... I'm gonna slot him somewhere between garbage and a number one, if that's okay with you guys, because he's better than garbage.
Feels like a wide range there, though.
I really think they need to address that. And they're fine, okay, as long as they stay healthy. But if there's an injury to that position group, they're going to be in trouble. Because you said Hobbs was credited with one play last night.
Played four snaps on defense last night.
So it sounds like he's in timeout right now. So I would hope that they would go and address this position, because that's the only thing that really scares me. Only thing that scares me.
Well, and it was very obvious, as Nate Hobbs was essentially benched in this one as well. You saw Valentine out there instead. What was the total snap count for Nate Hobbs yesterday, Gabe?
Four.
Four plays. But you saw that Aaron Rodgers was obviously going after Keyshawn Nixon. I don't care what pleasantries they exchanged before the game, because that was a big thing, right? That these two are boys, these two get along, these two really like each other. And then it was like Rodgers was absolutely targeting him on a lot of those plays in the second half. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Mo in Illinois. Mo, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Your reaction to the win?
Yeah, my reaction is that I'm very, very pleased with this football team. To start the way they did in the first half, I think a lot of us were – you know, kind of having the mentality that we're in for a long night. But to come out blazing in that second half, it was like two totally different ball games between the first and second half. I thought the Packers won the battle in the trenches, which was huge. The offensive and defensive lines played outstanding. I thought Jordan Love took total command of that game. And I would love to see Matt LaFleur follow the blueprint of the second half moving forward. When Jordan Love is dealing, I want the Packers offense to kind of rely on him. I know we have Josh Jacobs, but when he has so many weapons, especially now with Watson coming back, we're going to get Reed back. Tucker Kraft is on another world right now. I love when the Packers offense kind of runs through Jordan. Now, they could kind of marry it up with the play-action pass. I saw a few of those last night, which was very pleasing. But I think this Packers team has the potential to go all the way if they could just generate some more consistency. And I'm excited. I'm all the way in. And if they don't make the NFC Championship game, to me, I think that's a total disappointment in the season.
Well, that's another great point by you, Mo. Thank you so much. Because what we were talking about this morning was, given the schedule that the Packers have going forward, I mean, I know that they have the tie. And that tie is ugly, right? When you look at the record of 5-1-1, that's an ugly number right there. But one loss headed into the month of November, Gabe, that is something they should be able to hang their hat on. Where do you see them stacking up against the other teams in the NFC right now? Because, as we have discussed, nobody is gangbusters. Nobody's been perfect this year. It's not like the Eagles are running roughshod over everybody they face, and they are a surefire thing to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, who's better? I guess my question is, who's better than the Packers right now in the NFC? I don't think there's anybody who's better. Maybe you think somebody might be as good, but... Okay, so the Eagles. I think they look better than the Eagles right now. Eagles have their own problem and drama, and we'll get to see that. I'm assuming the Packers are going to be favored in that game when they match up in 2 weeks on Monday Night Football at Lambeau Field. And they've got the Lions on the schedule as well, who they beat earlier this year. The Packers have one loss to the two losses of the Lions, and when they went head-to-head, the Packers beat them. So I don't know who is better than the Packers right now in the NFC. You can't convince me that there is
There's
a team
a lot
better.
Of the same. No, not better, but the same. I mean, this is going to come down to three games. It's going to come down to the Eagles, Lions, and Denver. And you got to win two out of the three.
Ravens game there could be sneaky. Ravens game could be sneaky because it's going to mean a lot for the Ravens, and it's going to mean a lot for the Packers, too, if they're looking for the number one seed.
They could also be mailing it in at that time, you know, if the playoff picture is kind of secure. So
I'm guessing for the number one seed, it's not.
I'm not going to call that a huge game yet, but those three, those will be their toughest matchups. You know, if they want to get that number one seed, like I said, you got to win two out of those three games, which they're fully capable because there's no elite team, which is weird, in the NFL this year. You know, so it's going to come down to who's hot week 14, 15, 16 and can run the table. Because this team has not reached its potential, even though they had 450 yards of total offense yesterday in defense. They haven't reached their potential. Whether they will or not, I don't know. But they haven't reached their potential. It could only get better.
Well, and as always, not just who's hot, but who is healthy down the stretch. That will be something to pay attention to. Lots of folks asking if Josh Jacobs is not healthy. That from Justin in Jacksonville on the Carbless Talk and Text Line. I assume he is still dealing with that calf injury, and they just want to be cautious with him because, as we just mentioned, you want him for the long haul. You obviously don't want him to be dealing with that lingering all season long. Kevin says, I'm one of LaFleur's biggest critics, but he and the staff have done a great job with halftime adjustments. Good win, that from Kevin in Illinois. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Thomas in Chicago reacting to the Packers' 35-25 win over the Steelers last night. Good morning, Thomas.
Hey, Jen. Thanks for taking my call. Just before I get to my question, actually, for Chewy, I think the Rams are as good as the Packers. Mm-hmm. I think once Pulu gets healthy, Gabe, you said, like who the Packers go to, I think the Rams just go to feed the ball to Adams and Puka. And with that, I don't know if you guys have watched the Rams, but their defense is nasty with bursts and all those. So that's just what team I think is with the Packers. But my question for Chewy, did you guys see the play where there's two plays, but the play is all in the fourth quarter where Golden gets that pass and he tries to do the whole thing where he tries to go back and reverse it. Mm-hmm. But if Love takes half a second, he has Heath on a post going out to the sideline. Or if he just and then there's that play, and then the play where remember where he just does that, like, I don't know if it was a fadeaway, but to Emmanuel Wilson to the end zone, and they show Golden wide open going like across the field on a slant. Chewy, is that just a thing where he just goes to the first read and just goes through it and just look to the other reads? Is that like happy feet? Like, my dad said that's happy feet and just him not like selling down and looking to all the reads.
See, what happens is you rarely get to the fourth read unless the play breaks down and he scrambles. Then the reads go out the window. But as a progression, you gotta really like one, and then you don't have to like two as much. And then sometimes you panic and throw to three before you get to four. You know, that's just how it happens, and that's what he's conditioned to do. So,
I think there was pressure on both those plays, too.
Yeah.
So if there's pressure, yeah, you kind of want to get the ball out, too.
I mean, when you get that to a guy, that's fourth progression. A lot of that is luck because the progression, I mean, you like to say there's four, but really it's only three because you're going to throw it to number three even if it's close.
Also, that's TJ Watt bearing down on you.
Yes.
Wait, is he fast?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Is he fast? He can get there quickly?
Uh-huh.
With a dedicated Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. For 15 years, we've been serving businesses and organizations and individuals in the area with a longstanding commitment to the healthcare and not-for-profit sectors. Whether it's expansion to commercial payments, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions to navigate your organization's complex needs. Experience the difference with Fifth Third Bank National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Where else can you get football analysis that includes things like dropsies and picksies and intercepsies and flowy? It's flowy. Flowy. The offense needs to be more flowy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Win big this fall at Pottawatomie. You can play the Bird Bash game show for $50,000 in cash. Just play with your Pottawatomie rewards card for entries, prize drawings on Thursdays. Plus, your play also earns you a shot at the $300,000 December season finale. It's Bird Bash. It's only at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. For more information, just visit pottawatomie.com/birdbash. I'm not sure how much Shart and Farter exists this morning as the Packers beat the Steelers, ergo beating Aaron Rodgers and company. There is a great article on Yahoo Sports where the author Jory is detailing the disappointment and the isolation that Aaron Rodgers was kind of in after the game last night. So again, if there is Shart and Farter existing out there in Packers Nation, you may want to read that. And
I'm a Shart and Farter.
How Aaron Rodgers felt about his team being handed the loss yesterday by the Packers. Did you guys experience any of that? I thought I would. I thought I would be like, hell yeah. I didn't. I mean, I thought Rodgers played fine. It's very obvious to me he does not have a lot of weapons out there. You know, it's him and DK Metcalf trying to get the job done. I actually thought it was going to become the Rodgers-Metcalf show in the second half when they were trailing. But I didn't have that, like, yeah, get him! I thought I might watching Aaron Rodgers chew.
It didn't feel like a typical Pittsburgh team defensively. I mean, they're fine up front, but like you said, Gabe earlier, their defensive backfield's terrible and their offense is limited. Are they a playoff team?
Yeah, they'll probably be. I'm guessing that they're going to ultimately have a wild card berth.
Yes.
But yeah. I mean, with Lamar Jackson slated to come back, and who the hell knows what they're going to get fined by the league for the games they were playing with Lamar Jackson going into this weekend, who ultimately did not play against the Bears. But a lot of people feel like once Lamar gets healthy, they can still win that division because they're not overly impressed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And they think that even though the Ravens got off to the start that they did, they can still chase them down. But I mean, the Steelers, they're solid. They're probably a 6-7 seed, you know, just going to be sitting there in the wild card spot.
But the nice thing was they, you know, they look better on the road because they typically haven't looked
yes.
great. So, and this is a tough place to play against a proud franchise. This is a big win. This is just all about keeping pace with probably four, because I was looking at the NFC. You know, there's four teams that'll be fighting for it. Philly, Detroit, Green Bay. Well, the Rams, because you forget about the Rams because they're on the West Coast. Tampa Bay is intriguing, but I wouldn't put them as high as the Packers. I'd put them a click below. So I think it's really that number one seed is going to be between four teams, and they can't crap down their leg like they did in Cleveland or even Dallas, because that tie feels more like a loss. So, but I like where they're at. I like where they're at. I like the fact that there's more in the tank, even though they had 450 yards. You can still be better. But you don't want to be better right now. You want to be better closer to the end of the season.
There's a lot of dancing happening here. He's trying to
talk his way through how he feels is what he's doing right now. He's not sure, so he thinks if he says a lot of words, he's eventually going to just kind of land on how he feels.
Well, it's just a weird season because there are no elites in either league, AFC or NFC. It's just kind of a mismatch.
I think some will emerge by the end of the year. It felt like to me, going back to Aaron Rodgers, where this conversation originally started before we ended up, who knows, tap dancing all around the place there. It felt like Aaron Rodgers was entirely unwilling to put the ball at risk against his former team, even when the game was slipping away. Like that offense was horrific to watch. They were not testing anyone downfield. Clearly the Keyshawn Nixon thing was working. They clearly told him, hey, watch, he holds a lot. He gets in guys' grill. And there was nothing threatening downfield, even as the game was consistently going the Packers' way. They showed no effort to get back into it. I couldn't believe what they were doing on offense.
Well, it was a lot of dink and dunk in the first. That was dink, by the way. It didn't come out as dink, but it was a lot of dink and dunk in the first half by the Steelers. And kudos to the Packers. You know, we've been critical at times of their tackling in the past, but like it felt like even though the guys were making catches and maybe picking up a couple of yards, the defense was swarming to the ball and they were able to shut it down so that it was, again, they were field goaling the Packers to death in the first half of the game. I did want to also note, shout out to the Packers fans who made the trip to Pittsburgh, because Aaron Rodgers said that for the first time he thinks ever, he had to use a silent count on at home, because the Packers fans were so loud, so audible, that they were affecting his ability to communicate with his team. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We've got George on the north side waiting patiently to weigh in. Good morning, George. Your reaction to the 35-25 win. Did it feel like a statement win to you?
Yeah, I was really happy. I've always been happy with the Packers from the start up till now. I just thought it was a matter of time before things started clicking in. But I wanted to ask Mark, because my thing is, I believe that we've got the offense is fine, but I just want to, the glaring issue really is the corners. And if you think about the Packers, I just think about the history. They've always had, we finally got the front that we need. We finally got decent linebackers. Now we're missing the corners. We always had good corners. That will become a problem to me. And I know you know, because you've played on teams where you had the front and you had the corners and you had the safeties. That is the three levels for a Super Bowl champion. So I just feel like when the Packers go up against a team like that has a Davante Adams, that has a Pachua, whatever the guy's name is, and okay, you can't stop them. Yeah, Puka. Mm-hmm. And you can't stop them. That's the concern that's going to stop us from getting the ring. So I'm just going to sit back and then let you answer. Have a good, blessed morning.
I mean, if I was a betting man, I would say Goody is going to go get a corner. I think Hobbs,
I'll take your bet.
I say Hobbs playing as little as he did. I don't know if he's in timeout or they're off him.
I mean, you know, we'll have to wait and see what happens this next week, Chew. I mean, if he plays more, obviously it's just a timeout. And I don't know if there happens to be an injury to Bullard, who's been playing the slot position where Hobbs has been more comfortable. Maybe he gets more time. But I just, again, maybe I'm just wrong about Goody. But after trading two first-round picks, unless he's offloading somebody else to get some picks back, I can't imagine he's going to trade more picks to go get a corner. Gabe,
this is the only thing that could derail the season. Every other position, they're fine. They're fine across the board, except corner. And when you're this close and you can smell it, I mean, you know, it's tough to win a Super Bowl. But you just don't want one position group that is so important, probably, you know, second or third most important position group on the field, you don't want that to derail you.
So if it's the second or third most important position on the field, who's going to give you a corner that's worthwhile?
There's a couple, though. I mean, teams that suck, that want to dump players. I mean, would you do it or no? Sounds like you wouldn't do
it. Well, no, look, I'm betting against Goody doing it because, A, we know Goody loves his draft picks, and, B, I think he's going to take a look at the corner market and go, I mean, for what we'd have to give up, it's probably not worth giving up a third-round pick to go get a guy that's just as good as Carrington Valentine or Keyshawn Nixon. And as much as you want, as we want to talk about the defense in terms, they have the third most pass attempts against them, mm-hmm, and the 15th most yards allowed in the pass. So they're being pretty efficient with that.
But it just doesn't feel good.
In terms of the net yards, I know it doesn't feel great, but net yards per pass attempt, Packers are first in the league. So yeah. I know it kind of feels, but I feel like we're nitpicking just a little bit because the first half didn't go great for Keyshawn. And then the second half, the Packers defense kind of figured it out.
Yeah, but what
again,
do
you do? Keyshawn Nixon's not a number one overall, but you're not going to go. I don't think that there is a cornerback out there that you're going to be able to trade for that instantly go, yep, put him in. He's going to be better than Keyshawn. I don't think that corner is going to get traded
that
in the next 2 weeks.
You just need someone that's better than Hobbs. You need depth. Because what if Keyshawn has something and he misses a handful of games? Then you're rolling with Hobbs and Valentine?
Right,
that doesn't feel, especially when you're going up against Philly with their receivers. I mean, I wouldn't feel luscious.
No, but again, like corners are hard to come by.
No,
there's not a lot of good ones out there, and I feel like anybody that you trade for is going to be kind of the same on the depth chart that you have, right? I mean, because you could easily trade for someone, and they could turn out to be like Nate Hobbs because they had high expectations for Nate Hobbs coming in.
Yeah,
Unless one of these corners just hits you in the face with how good they are out there in the market, I just don't think that Goody's actually going to pull the trigger on a trade.
I do have a lot of reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, and of course on the YouTube stream as well. Remember, you can always watch the show on YouTube on our ESPN Milwaukee channel, and there are a lot of people concerned that the cornerback situation will be the downfall of the team, that everything else will be clicking, and that that will be the one thing that keeps them from making a deep run in the postseason. So we can continue talking about that if you want to, but I do want to remind everybody, Packers won the dang game, 35-25 over the Steelers. Jordan Love out-dueling Aaron Rodgers, however you want to break it down, and there's still a lot of stuff. There's a lot of meat left on this bone. Do they have a kicker problem? McManus, no. It seems like. McManus is not healthy, right? I mean, he was clutch. He was automatic previously. He's been dealing with the injury, and he missed those first two field goals. Again, stuff that we can continue talking about as the show rolls on. Gabe, for now, I'll toss it over to you.
Cheese It, the legendary cracker. It's now available as a frozen pizza. Okay, you're going to Cheese It, frozen pizza? Yeah, so each Cheese It frozen pizza, the crust is a giant original Cheese It flavor cracker. Of course, it has to be square-shaped because that's what Cheese It is. Ultra thin, super crispy, that perfect amount of Cheese It flavor. And because this comes from Palermo's, you know you're going to love the flavor of the toppings that they put on this thing. Italian four cheese, cheddar jack supreme, and pepperoni are your options. And it has one of the shortest bake times. So you go from freezing to cheesing in as few as 8 minutes. Find Cheese It frozen pizza in your favorite grocer's frozen pizza section.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, pumpkin seeds.
No. Little suckers. They might be. What did you say before, Jen?
Sesame but those seeds. Are white. Like, yeah.
No,
white.
These aren't white. No, this isn't on the outside. This is on the inside.
Seeds on the inside.
Oh, yeah. So you've got some sort of, like...
Scrotum.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, I talked about this all the time. I've been doing therapy for 15 years. It has helped me navigate the challenges of life so much more effectively than I was when I was doing it on my own. And BetterHelp can help if you find yourself in a similar situation. They've got 30,000 therapists, the largest online therapy platform. They've served more than 5 million people globally, and it works. An average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on 1.7 million client reviews. 1.7 million people cannot be wrong. This month, it is time. If you need help, listen to BetterHelp. And our listeners get 10% off their first month. You just got to call #250 and say the keyword timeout. That's #250. Say the keyword timeout for 10% off your first month at BetterHelp. That's fresh. I've seen him on your arm and he must be the best. Chewy, are you concerned at all about McManus's ability to split the uprights? Obviously, that was an issue yesterday. That game probably feels different if he is able to do his job early on. But he is coming off of that injury, so there's a part of me that wants to say he obviously just wasn't ready to be back out there, even though they have Haversick, who is sort of waiting in the wings.
No, because he's a veteran. I mean, if he was a youngster, then yeah, I'd have some concern. But when you come back after being off for a couple of weeks, it takes a little while to get back into the swing of things. So I'm not concerned at all. He was probably trying to get over a little mental hurdle, but he'll go back to the drawing board. Good week of practice, and he'll be fine.
I guess I was concerned, Gabe, that maybe he rushed back. You know, he saw how well Haversick was performing, and so he was like, I got to be back out there. And then maybe it was a little too early.
I don't know. I guess... He missed a 57-yarder in a place that is notoriously tough to kick field goals. It can swirl in there like it does at Lambeau at Acrisure. So the one that was concerning, though, was the 44-yarder. Like, you got to be able to nail those, and he just hooked it. I don't know if he just put pressure on himself because he missed the first one. He knew it was a big one at the end of the first half. Ultimately, I guess I'm not worried, to Chewy's point. He's the veteran. They're going to stick with him. I can't imagine that Lucas Haversick takes over on a full-time basis for a guy that they paid a decent amount of money to this offseason, which obviously factors this into this as well. But he was so good for them last season. He was good in the first half of the first part of this season before his injury. I throw out the 57-yarder, the 44-yarder. He hooked it. It's bad, but he made all his other kicks. If it continues to be an issue and he's missing kicks in practice, I think that's when the Packers would actually become concerned about it.
For him, it's just a timing thing, because get-off time for field goals is about 1.3 seconds. I mean, think about that. He's got to be dialed in perfect timing within 1.3 seconds. It's actually probably less than a second. So his timing was just off. He was probably a little quick on the hook, and he'll be fine. He'll just get back on the practice field. And
yeah, I think ultimately it is going to be fine, but it is a Victory Monday here on ESPN Milwaukee. It's brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer.
You know what, guys? I was asking Joshy during the break, and Gabe, so you don't have to give up a draft pick, would you be willing to trade Wicks or Dobbs for a corner?
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't know if another team would take that back, you know? Like, especially, maybe you could get Wicks, but Dobbs is somebody who's going to be a free agent. So I don't know. If Dobbs were to be traded, which I don't think it would, because he's going to be a free agent, somebody who's competing would want him, right? Because maybe you re-sign him, maybe you don't. You don't know. Wicks, because he has this year and next, maybe you can get a corner in return for that. But typically, I mean, we haven't seen too many player-for-player trades in the NFL. I mean, every once in a while, a player gets sprinkled in there. Like, I mean, Kenny Clark was sprinkled in there. The main event of the Packers trade for Micah Parsons was the two first-rounders.
Yes, but, I mean, these guys are young and definitely have value.
You know? I think they have value.
I just think when you get Reed back in there, there's going to be such a surplus of receivers, right? And that's probably a month away.
Yeah, and well, I look at it this way, Chu, because it seems like to me Wicks could be that odd man out with the return of Watson. But the way they use Dobbs and the way he continues to lead this team in snap count, I can't imagine that they would put him out there as somebody that you could trade for just because Matt LaFleur would have to change so much of what he does.
Mm-hmm.
But Wicks being the odd man out, if you could get you trade Wicks, you get a mid-round pick, and then, okay, now I've got 2/3 or 2/4, whatever it is that you would get for him, and then try to turn one of those two picks into a corner. I could see the Packers going that route. Two different trades of, oh, now I've got a surplus of mid-round picks. I can turn one of these picks into another corner.
Phil weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text Line says, can Goody find a Rasul Douglas type off the scrap heap again? No way he makes a trade if draft picks are involved, to the point that you made earlier, Gabe. Is there anybody even out there? Joshy, this feels like it's your world. Is there anybody even out there that you would be interested in adding from a cornerback position?
There's certainly some veterans that I've seen mentioned as being out there, but the idea, the Rasul Douglas situation is, yes, I think they would love to turn a practice squad guy they take off someone else's roster into a starter and then an asset they could trade. But that's pretty few and far between. Goody's been good at it. I mean, Devondre Campbell's also an example of that. But I think I don't think there's any situation where Brian Gutekunst goes in without trying something. We might not be happy with what he tries, be it somebody on the practice squad or some guy that's it ends up getting cut. Wild things happen. People become available every single year. But I don't think they're going to give up significant capital to acquire someone. I don't think they would. Now, I think you could argue they should. If you made that investment in Micah Parsons, that is a go-for-broke type of move. So at this point, why are you protecting any more assets? You're trying to win Super Bowls.
Yeah, look, I'm with you, Josh. Like, I've reached Rams bleep them pick status. I don't know if Goody has reached the bleep them pick status.
I don't think he's going to ever.
And that's why I'm protecting myself, thinking that, hey, look, the last 2 years, Goody has done things that people thought he wouldn't. Spent significantly on Josh Jacobs, spent significantly on Xavier McKinney, and then went out and hit the free agent market again, getting Nate Hobbs, even though it hasn't worked out, getting Aaron Banks at left tackle, and then making the trade for Micah Parsons. I don't think he's going to part with that many picks, because if you want to start diving into like Tucker Kraft and guys you're going to have to eventually pay, like, you're going to need draft picks to kind of backfill this roster, because you're at a stress point at the pass catcher position, where a lot of these guys in the next couple of years are going to be cycling out. You're only going to be able to keep a couple of them, and you're going to need to backfill, and you need draft picks in order to do that.
But what's the hit rate on a fourth and fifth round pick? Can't be very high. And I'm not saying go get a QB1 or a CB1. Just go get a guy that can play in case, like a Ballantyne. You know? I mean, that's a fourth or a fifth round pick. Just a break glass in case of emergency type guy. Not a stud.
All I know is Ever since Ed Policy announced that he was not extending Brian Gutekunst, it feels like it lit a fire under his ass, right? And I know it's probably not exactly direct correlation, but, you know, they obviously have put pressure on him to put up or shut up. And there's a part of me that feels like when you're seeing some of these changes, some of this transformation of Brian Gutekunst, where he's doing things that maybe he wouldn't have done in the past, I can't help but wonder if it's Ed Policy saying, I'm not convinced. Show me. Show me you're the guy. Show me you can put together a Super Bowl caliber roster, and that that is what has motivated Goody to do such things. And I guess that's what makes me lean towards maybe a little more he could do something we don't expect him to do, Gabe, than he has in the past.
Yeah, I just, without a first round pick, it's A, tough, and then B, does he want to give up a third round pick and go get one of those guys too? And then you have one pick in the first 2 days of the draft? That doesn't seem Goody-like.
No, that's why I wanted to sweeten the pie by adding like a Wicks or a Dobbs, or I don't know. Does Heath have any value or no?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, you tell me, what does a blocking wide receiver go for if you want to trade him away?
He'd probably be a number three on some really bad teams.
Yeah, which is what really bad teams are looking for.
Yes.
they're really Josh concerned about the number three position.
Josh said he's fine with Heath as the four.
Yeah. I think, like, on the Packers roster, if he's the fourth or fifth option, that's fine.
Are you saying because they've traded away Dobbs? Or they've traded away?
Right, yes. If somebody is forced out via trade, that's a perfectly fine fourth option. That guy is not getting targeted a whole lot. He's just going to sort of be on the field, situational, give guys a blow. The problem is the most valuable asset they probably have that isn't the rookie Matthew Golden is Romeo Dobbs, and I don't know if they're trading.
Oh, I thought you were
going
to say Jaden Reed.
Well, that's the thing with Romeo is if we are to believe that Brian Gutekunst went to Matt LaFleur before the Micah Parsons trade and said, hey, I want to make sure everybody is on board with what we are giving away and what we're getting back. I want to make sure everybody's on board. And Matt LaFleur, even though it stung, you know, to give up Kenny Clark because he loved him as a guy in that locker room, obviously signed off on it. If you're going to Matt LaFleur to sign off on a Romeo Dobbs trade, that trade ain't happening.
He's going to pound the table. No, I need a guy we can force the ball to who's not going to come up with the ball. I need to throw it downfield to our slowest guy. I have to.
I see another go ball to Romeo Dobbs.
Jiminy Christmas.
But when you think about that offense, guys, doesn't it make you giddy to think about Tucker Kraft, Christian Watson, Matthew Golden, if that's the direction they go, in what Romeo Dobbs is, and then getting Jaden Reed back from injury, like, that feels like a very intimidating group of pass catchers.
They might be forced to keep Dobbs.
Because he's playing
Tucker
so well?
Kraft, well, no, because Tucker Kraft is going to have, he'll be a Zach Tom going into next year, and you're going to have to pay him. I mean, McBride got paid 19 last year, so you're looking at a 2021. You can't go out and pay receivers a ton of, you know, there's only so much money to go around.
Yeah,
so
which is why you can't keep Dobbs because, right. I mean, what are you going to pay Dobbs?
Yeah, but you keep him for 13. The same number.
But that's $10 million more than he's making now.
I'd rather pay 23 for Kraft.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying they're not going to be able to go out and get these high priced receivers. They're going to have to keep average guys.
Yeah. So, you know how you backfill that shoe?
Yeah.
The draft.
I know, but
which is why Goody's
going
to want to hold on to picks.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not
Right now, draft picks
are so overrated.
Yeah, especially those sixth rounders.
Yeah. Get nothing out of those guys.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm at the point with Tucker Kraft where I'm hoping, and they showed it on TV, his small town he's from. I'm hoping they get a discount just because he's so excited to be getting a contract. Like, he's so good.
All right, but you know that's not fair to the
player. It's not. Yeah. But that's my last hope and prayer.
Just because he's from a small town doesn't mean he has a small brain.
Because,
I don't know. Well, did you see the size of some of those kids he was playing against high school football against? Nine-man football?
Because right now,
holy cow!
How do you tell Tucker Kraft he shouldn't be the highest paid tight end in the NFL?
Right now, he is second in tight end receiving yards, first in yards per game.
Yep. And where is he on targets? Because I bet there's probably 7 to 8 guys ahead of him.
But what I would also tell you is they can manipulate that as the season goes on. All of a sudden, you start wondering why Tucker Kraft's numbers are changing. It's because the front office came down and said, hey, Hey!
The cat's gone out of the bag.
Yeah, I think.
I think it's, yeah.
It's a little late for that now.
Oh, yeah, we wouldn't put it past Matt LaFleur and company to change the offensive game plan in the second half of the season, gang.
Well, we'll see at the end of the year if he's got to compete for his starting tight end job.
Matt LaFleur also has some pressure on him, Jen, wins. Much like Gutekunst. If you want to win,
package deal, him and
if you want to win, you get the ball to Tucker.
800-990-3776 if you want to react to the Packers 35-25 win over the Steelers last night. We have enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help us with our home projects. And look, it varies. We had a woodpecker that was putting holes in our siding. PCI came out and helped us with that. We had a balcony that was leaking into our kitchen. That's right, when there was snow on the balcony, it was coming into our kitchen. PCI came out, helped us out with that. And of course, when we remodeled our basement, our friends at PCI came out and did an exceptional job in giving us the extra space that our family needed. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships and doing exceptional work on your projects. For more information, just go to their website, professionalconstructioninc.com. That's professionalconstructioninc.com, and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you. If you're buying or building a new home, Great Midwest Bank helps guide you every step of the way. We have used Great Midwest Bank for our mortgage, and they have always come through for us. In fact, reached out the other day and said, hey, interest rates are lower. Do you guys want to refinance? We said, abso-frickin-lutely, we do. And that is the type of service you get when you work with Great Midwest Bank. Local loan officers from start to finish. You can bank with confidence at Great Midwest Bank. They're your simply local equal housing lender. See all of their customizable products at greatmidwestbank.com. That's greatmidwestbank.com. There is a mindset out there that says never get too high, never get too low. Somebody on this program says it all the time. Chewy, do you think we are getting too high about the Packers' 35-25 win over the Steelers last night?
No. Just because the fact that they were actually down going into the fourth quarter. Whereas if you just look at the team stats and the box score, you'd be like, okay, this game had to be in hand. So, like I said, there's still room for improvement. Although they're moving in the right direction, I will give them that. And I would expect tomorrow when we do power rankings, they will be somewhere in the top five.
As they should be. Because they are playing that well. You're 5-1-1. You are what your record says you are, and 5-1-1 is the best mark in the NFC. I guess I'm just excited about this more than any win they've probably had since the first two
fair.
Of the year.
Totally fair.
Because, A, the way they looked in the fourth quarter, and B, I feel like they're starting to figure out who they are as a team. Teams are starting to figure that out at this point in the season, and I think having that identity and knowing who they can trust, who they can play through, whilst having those things to work on, like Chewy said, that's what makes me excited of, oh, we know what this team is, and we know how they're going to win games, even when they play good teams like the Eagles and the Lions and the Broncos, who are next up in the schedule in the next 7-8 games.
Let me ask you guys this. You think the Brewers' disappointing playoff loss is keeping us grounded as Packer fans?
No, I don't think that has anything to do with it.
No?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just they were able to take advantage and look good against the Steelers yesterday, but I think everybody's getting used to what the NFL is, and that is for the first 2 months, you're just trying to collect wins. Who cares how it looks? You want to collect as many wins as you can, and then you start just trying to piece it all together and be one of those teams that's playing your best in December into January.
So I guess, guys, that's what I'm trying to figure out this morning is if we have been critical about the Packers not knowing what their identity is, whose fault has that been? Has it been Matt LaFleur for not trusting Jordan Love? Jordan Love showed late last night that he is capable of being the guy who this offense runs through. You don't have to run it on the ground with Josh Jacobs. Maybe you did last year because Love was dealing with the injury and Jacobs was, you know, the hot hand. But what you saw last night from Jordan Love is this is a passing team. And I'm watching Tucker Kraft right now rumble and stumble in his way towards the end zone in the third quarter of that game. There's a part of me that wonders if Matt LaFleur did see enough from Jordan last night to say, okay, I don't need to, you know, protect him from himself. I don't need to run this offense through Josh Jacobs in the ground game. We can give the ball to Jordan Love and he can win games for us. Gabe, what do you think?
Yeah, we got to wait and see how he, what the play calls are. And not even necessarily next week, again, I think, against Carolina. because that's a game I would expect them to be able to run the football a little bit more because
James
of how
Cook
bad.
Had 216 yards, I think.
That's all.
So you're saying we should go back to the ground game.
Just because the Panthers are not very good.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see what happens against that front in Philadelphia in 2 weeks. Are you going to be this team that's throwing the football a little bit more? And I think it's more than just last night, Jen. I think it goes back to that fourth down play that they threw to Tucker Kraft that eventually got them the win in Arizona last week. So I think it's this slow build that they have with Jordan Love. And right now, the Packers, just barely, have thrown the ball more than they've run the ball so far this season after being a 52% run team a year ago. So it's to me, it's about, okay, these really tough games, these games against some of the teams that you think are in your class, like the Eagles, what's your split? What's your balance going to be in those games to kind of define that identity? Because again, the Panthers have been a mess.
He was probably a little slow to pivot. Like when the defensive backfield, though, before the game even started, you know, was so terrible. I don't know why he just wouldn't go right at him right away instead of trying to establish the run. That's a little
perplexing. Well, because again, I get it with Josh.
He eventually got there.
I mean, Josh Jacobs had a top five season in the history of the Green Bay Packers as running back last year.
Yeah.
Like, which is unbelievable to say about, you know, a 100-year franchise that's had amazing running backs over the course of those 100 years, and he had a top five season in the history of the franchise at that position. I understand wanting to feed him the football, but this offensive line, they just do a better job pass blocking. This offensive line hasn't done a good enough job run blocking, and a lot of these runs just seem like a waste of time. And a lot of the runs yesterday were a waste of time. Put the ball in Jordan Love's hands.
I also am like not trying to run away from the run game or abandon the run game in its entirety. I'm sure it's going to be effective come December and January. Like, that's, but right now, the things that are working are feeding the ball to Tucker Kraft, letting Jordan Love sit back there and sort of test teams down the field. It hadn't worked earlier in the season, and now it is hitting the way you would expect it to.
Yeah, I'm with you, Josh. It's past to set up the run.
Right.
It's not become what Tom Brady was, where basically your running game is flipping the ball in the flat to Julian Edelman. That's not what I'm suggesting. Josh Jacobs still is going to have a huge role in this team. I'm just saying, hey, let's throw the ball to set up the run. And maybe then those run numbers come in the fourth quarter when you're in your four-minute offense, Chew, trying to run out the clock and pick up 4-5 yards at a time.
As long as he's not forcing the ball, you know, as long as it's not, oh, Kraft only has one catch today, I got to get him the ball. Like I said, some days it's going to be Christian Watson, could be Dobbs, could be Golden. That's a tough deal to stop. As long as he's not forcing, like, oh, Tucker Kraft, I got to get him the ball. And these guys have to understand that you'll get your shots because it is kind of a balancing ego type thing. And if they do that, like I said, they're going to be really, really tough to stop.
And I know that Josh Jacobs' fantasy football owners, who I happen to live with two of them, aren't going to want to hear this. But as he continues to deal with the calf injury, Wilson is doing a good job out there. Wilson is picking up yardage. Wilson is moving the sticks. I'm not saying that you should go to him as your featured back. I'm saying that you want Josh Jacobs to be healthy late in the season. You want Josh Jacobs to be healthy in December and in January for a playoff push. So if you need to lean a little bit more on Wilson right now, I'm okay with that as you continue to figure out the balance between the pass and the run game. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff for us to get to this morning. We have Rob Domofsky coming up in the second hour of the show. Don't go anywhere. We still want to tell you guys about our friends over at Accutrans, because when I'm doing my traveling during the football season, I rely on the folks over at Accutrans. And so do we here at Good Karma Brands. When we're headed up to Green Bay for green and gold action, we use Accutrans because they have professional drivers, reliable pickups, and zero parking hassles. Your game day fun starts the moment you step on board. Book your ride now at AccutransGroup.com. That's AccutransGroup.com, and enjoy the ride.